So it is that time of the evening, as it is a Thursday evening, that we catch up with Samke Mhlongo. She is, of course, a wealth coach, and she's been giving you advice on various aspects of your life where you can start building wealth. And this is, of course, what everyone who's upwardly mobile really needs to listen into and to internalize very carefully. Now, many of you would have been part of that January 2020 intake. You would have received your first check by now. Congratulations to you if you have had a set or landed a brand new job, you've entered the working world, whatever aspect of it is. But there is such a thing as family tax. Sometimes we call it black tax, and it basically means that if you come from a particular background where you are encouraged to look after your family and to help out, particularly in families that are very severely disadvantaged, you may find that there are certain financial pressures in terms of helping that family to make ends meet. So what are the do's and don'ts, particularly for graduates who come out of the education system, who are in the work system, and now are being sort of pressured to pay this family tax or black tax? I think many people find themselves in that situation. So private banker turned wealth coach at TNC Wealth Partners, Samke Mhlongo, is here to talk us through the do's and don'ts. Samke, hi. And I see you've got some important, five important points, in fact, that you want to raise in regard to this. And the first one, essentially, involves limiting your family's expenditure.
Yes, Joanne. So over the past month especially and weeks, I've been working a lot with different companies and HR consultants, and they are basically saying that they're very concerned with the graduates that do become employed with the organizations, because, you know, sooner or later they're seeing a rise in financial distress, especially as a result of family tax, and that affects their performance. Yes. So I thought now would be a good time to actually have this conversation, because a lot of people, especially if they're graduates, would have had their first paycheck by now. Right. And the first tip I have is to do put your family on a budget, because a lot of the times we put the individual themselves on a budget, but that budget is sometimes not feasible because of the family responsibilities. Right. And I always joke and say, you know, isn't it funny how you find that people that don't have jobs or are sitting at home relying on others tend to always have airtime, or tend to always have a little bit of extra bucks to go out with the girls or the boys on a Friday. And you're thinking, hey, your lifestyle is better than mine. And that's because they know they can always say, may I have some if the resources that you've given them have run out. Whereas as the person actually earning that salary, you don't always have that option. So sit down with your family, say, right, mama, how much do you need a month for food? Yeah. Or sister, how much do you need for airtime? Or uncle, how much do you need for groceries? Whatever the case is, and actually make them stick to that budget. Because what that does is if anything runs out during the month, you can say, but we agreed that this was the amount. Yeah. Whereas a lot of the times, family tax tends to perpetuate because we don't have a no, we don't have a stop.
Right. Sure. It's a difficult thing to do, but it must be done, no doubt. I mean, you also, as a new person belonging to the working world, can simply not, get into unreliable transport. You've got to find a way to get yourself to work, because you've got to be there by a particular time. You're probably going to be driving home late in the evenings. So you want to get a nice car. How disciplined should you be?
A lot of graduates, the first thing they do is buy a car. And I say, hold off as long as possible, at least 6 months. Why? Because that'll give you an opportunity to, one, build your credit score, which then will mean that, two, you're getting a better interest rate deal on the vehicle finance that is approved for you. Three, it also allows you to build up a deposit so that you're not buying that car 100%. And the minute you put in a deposit into that vehicle finance, you're getting a better interest rate already. So you can actually get the same asset 6 months later for far less than what you would pay if you were to take out that vehicle finance immediately after getting your payslip. So please don't buy a car immediately after getting your job. But, you know, if you decide to, at least put down a deposit and ensure that you get yourself the best interest rate possible.
That's great advice. Staying at home probably makes it difficult to have that conversation we spoke about earlier with your family. For how long should you actually be at home once you're earning?
Okay, I'm sure going to get a lot of flack for this one, but please do move out of home as soon as possible. When I was still in the individual consulting space for financial wellness, I'd get a lot of people that say, I've been working for 3 to 5 years and now I want to move out of home, but it's become a contentious issue because now people are feeling that I'm leaving them stranded. Whereas it's easier off the bat to say, it's so expensive for me to travel to work every day. Mm-hmm. I need to move out and move into a small apartment closer pressure to work. I'll come home every weekend, whatever the case is. But if you continue to stay at home, then it becomes difficult to create financial independence and for you to make your own plans for your finances, because your paycheck will essentially be the household check.
Right, right. How open should you be about how much money you make?
You have my permission to lie. Do not disclose how much you're earning. The first thing that a lot of graduates do is go home with their salary or employment contract because they're so excited. And a lot of parents don't even have the financial acumen to understand that TCE, or total cost of employment, or CTC, which is, I've just gone blank. What? CTC? Total cost of employment or whatever. Okay.
It'll come to you.
It'll come to you. I've gone blank, literally. But basically TCE or CTC is basically very different to your cash component, which is what actually will come to your salary, to your bank account after your PAYE and your UIF.
Right.
So don't go around telling everyone what your total cost of employment is, because that is nowhere near what is actually going to come into your bank account. Right. If at all, just avoid having the discussion of how much you're earning.
All right. Cost to company.
Cost to company. To me. I mean, hello, I'm thinking of big financial jargon. It's cost to company. I knew that, I promise.
I believe you. the last issues, I mean, not many of us are in the habit of asking professionals for help when it comes to managing our money. But it's a good idea, isn't it, Simke?
It is a good idea. So my final point is, do use the company staff wellness financial counselors. A lot of people usually email me, DM me and say, you know, can I consult with you? What's your rate? And I'm thinking to myself, I know your organization and I know that you have staff financial counselors free of charge. So why pay for an offering or a service that is already being made available to you by the company? It's part of your company benefits. So please do review what benefits you have, especially if you're a graduate. Sit down with HR if maybe you zoned out during induction and you didn't really listen to that part, because a lot of companies have financial wellness benefits and you've got someone who can sit down and help you with all the points I've just outlined.
Just on that point, Simke, I mean, some people may be embarrassed to sit down in front of someone who's dealing with, you know, with different sorts of families, right? And they might be embarrassed to say, well, actually, I need to give this amount of money to my mom and I need to give this amount of money to my uncles. And, you know, many people are embarrassed to share that kind of information. Should they be?
You should not be embarrassed. I mean, I sit down with HR consultants and practitioners in organizations, and they actually approach me to say, Simke, please have this conversation, because when we have this conversation with our employees, they don't believe us. So it is a big, big phenomenon. I mean, there are so many reports and studies done into financial distress in employees. And in South Africa right now, the Old Mutual Savings and Investments Monitor of 2019 said that, you know, they showed a rising trend in South Africans facing financial distress, South African employees. So we're now sitting at close to 75% of all South African employees say that they're under financial distress and it's impacting their productivity. So trust me, you're not alone. Trust me, majority of South Africans are feeling the pressure, and trust me that earning a paycheck is not the solution to your financial problems. Knowing how to manage that paycheck is the solution to your financial problems. Otherwise, you'll be earning seven figures and still be faced with not having enough money at the end of the month.
That is such a brilliant piece of advice. Thank you for that, Simke Mhlongo. She is a private banker turned wealth coach at TNC Wealth Partners, giving some really sound advice there in terms of what you should be doing as a new earner, wherever you are. If you're in the corporate world, wherever you are, that's some really good advice to take. And it's best to do it right now, just after you've got your first paycheck.